Welcome to the Ryan Out Loud podcast, where this season is proudly brought to you in collaboration with True Tea Pittsburgh. True Tea Pittsburgh is dedicated to celebrating queer people of color through the vibrant realms of creative arts and entertainment, social activism, and impactful sharing of meaningful life resources. Join us on a journey of empowering stories, diverse perspectives, and the intersection of art and advocacy. This is a space where voices are amplified and narratives are embraced. Welcome to a season filled with authenticity, brought to you by True Tea Pittsburgh.
Ladies and gentlemen, beautiful people, gays and days, all you gorgeous people, okay? Welcome to another episode of Ryan Out Loud. I am very excited to have this guest. They are making their debut on Ryan Out Loud. Roderick Woodruff, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm deeply excited to be here. This was always a part of the rollout plan. Like, I wanted to come on your podcast. After seeing Warren on your podcast, like, I wanted to come on and talk about the album with you specifically.
So. That makes me feel very special. You sent me this album
back in October?
November? It was a couple months ago. And the way my brain works, and let me apologize, because I remember it was sitting in there for a few days.
Okay.
The way my brain works, like, I don't check my DMs. Like, I tell people, I don't check. Like, you got to, like, you know, people say, don't at me on the timeline, DM me. No, it's actually the opposite. At me.
Please.
Hey, yo, check your DM. Because I really don't, like, I have a tweet that blows up every once in a while. And I literally... Wow. Can never see. My mentions are crazy. I don't check my DMs like I should. Instagram's a little bit more consistent for me. Yeah. But
thank you for replying, though. I was not expecting nothing back. So thank you for replying.
What? Please. This is Ryan Out Loud is created for artists like you. Roderick, are the reason why I keep going. It motivates me. So first of all, I want to say thank you for, you know, giving me the privilege to listen to this masterpiece. Okay. This in early in advance. And I remember when you know, I was like, yes, immediately. Like, I was, you know, I was going through some things at the time, but I was like, I know January, I was like, I'll be ready. And I was like, when are you thinking? And I was like,
well, I didn't have a release date when I sent it to you.
Wow. Okay. You said January something, and then we had talked
about it was January something. And then I think something weird happened, and I just randomly picked January 30th. I knew I didn't release on a Friday, but when I had reached out to you, there was no release date at all. Wow. There was just a body of work, and I'm like, I don't know when I'm going to release it.
Okay. And I was like, look, let's do it. Yeah. Okay, first of all, let me act like I have some sense, because this album, I can't wait to, I'm like looking at my questions to jump into it. How are you? Introduce yourself to the Ryan Out Loud listeners. Just give them a spill. Yeah. Introduce yourself. Where are you from? Tell us.
My name is Roger.
Pronouns, your pronouns, please.
Yeah, I go by he, they pronouns. But to be honest, girl, she, they, him, I'm with all of the pronouns.
Okay.
Nothing offends me.
Okay. I just wanted to clarify. I meant to clarify before we start recording, but I wanted to check.
I'm that nigga that's gonna wear a skirt to work. Like, I am.
Period.
I just am. You know, I feel very comfortable in
as you should.
Feminine clothing.
You be rocking them boots. I be seeing the heels.
I do try. But yeah, so my name is Roderick Woodruff. I am from Detroit. I moved to New York about 4 years ago at this point, and the album actually started as soon as I moved to New York. I had this tumultuous breakup with this boy, and I was depressed. And then the pandemic happened, and nothing else to do but sit in my room and write. So that's who I am. I got my degree in acting. I'm a storyteller. If you listen to the album, you can hear that it is deeply rooted in story. It is a play. It's
Yes,
musical theater at its finest.
it is brilliant.
But yeah, that's who I am. I'm a theater kid. I am a choir kid. You'll hear many
Yeah.
influences through the album.
Yes.
I'm a lover of Negro spirituals and Beyonce, a little bit too much. Elton John, like I love grand music, grand
Yeah.
music. And I think you'll hear a lot of that in this album.
And I'm going to tell y'all right now, listeners, pause this episode if you're listening and you have not checked out The In-Between.
Please, right now, right now.
Like, come back and you'll be able to, get the flow because it's very rare. I talk to artists a lot, but I have notes for every song. And we're going to get into that. But how are you feeling, Roger? How are you feeling? Your debut album, The In-Between, is out.
In this current moment, talking to you, I'm really excited. I'm really, really excited to talk to you. I went through a lot of emotions today. I had an 8 a.m. rehearsal for the concert that's happening next Tuesday. So I got up this morning and I was kind of feeling nothing. My phone was on Do Not Disturb. I didn't want any messages. I was like, I just need to be alone, right? Plug in my headphones and I'm playing the album. And I'm listening to it and it's like, all right. I've heard it so many times. I'm like, all right, going through emotions.
How long you been sitting on this album?
For, well, okay.
So,
The first song was written in 2019, and that was Forgive Me. The second song, Boot Up, was also written in 2019. The other songs were written during lockdown, so between May and like June of 2020. And then I work with two producers in between that were just like, they just couldn't capture what I was looking for.
okay.
Finally work with Brian Nathan out of Nashville, who gave us the project in its current form.
Yeah. Seven songs,
7 songs. There used to be,
23 minutes.
well, there used to be nine.
Okay, so I was going to ask, how many did you have, how many songs did you have recorded originally? Like, when you were like, okay, I want to pick apart and tell a story.
Yeah, there were 9 songs.
Okay.
Two songs that didn't make it was, I'm actually looking at it on my computer right now. I have it put up on my home screen. It was called Sig, Soul I'm Gonna Save. And that song was very, if you think of Beyonce's I Miss You, I think that's her 4 album. It
Yes.
was deeply inspired by I Miss You.
Really?
Or
That's one
just
of my favorite.
people, the girl, I love the song.
I love the album, actually. A lot of people, hold on. One thing, so let me explain. If you're not familiar with Ryan Out Loud, I go off topic a lot.
Got to.
I go off topic a lot, and that's why my episodes are usually like an hour and a half long. But for I Miss You specifically, I Care, Rather Die Young, and I Miss You, like I said, are probably my favorites.
School in life. You gotta add school in life in there. Don't count her out. School in life. Come on
I think
now.
now because I'm in my 30s, I'll be like, I get it now. But
Yeah.
at the time, I was like, this is good. I'm 20. So I was like, now I'm like, oh, I'm in my 30s. I get it.
Are you ducking your head? I'm in my 30s.
Little bit, no. I'm fully embraced because there's a lot of people that don't make it to this point in life. So,
You're valid.
yeah. So are we getting? That's a later on question. I'm jumping ahead. You have two songs that you haven't released, and I want to ask a question. I'm gonna ask it at the end. So, tell me how you're feeling about the product, about the album being released. And y'all, this is an album, not an EP.
Not an EP. It is a cohesive story,
It is.
clear collection of work. Also, by technical standards, it does go over 20 minutes. So it is an
Like I
album.
said, seven songs, 23 minutes.
Yeah. It's a quick one, a very quick one.
But I love to, like, as much as I I go through this mix up between how I about feeling indifferent about EPs. I like album because it's like I know it's sometimes artists release them as a teaser, or you know, especially independent artists, it's within their budget, so they can't give more, you know. But it's like, please give me some more. Like,
More.
I need a list of 10, 11. I need a good classic 11, you know, 10 song album. Keep it
I
even.
honestly might extend the album. I might extend the album.
You just get an exclusive.
Might. We honestly might. I might extend the album because there are, if people are familiar with musical theater, there is a point in the album, if you listen to it in its current form, where it's like there's missing a song. Like, so you meet the guy in the beginning, you fall in love with the guy, and then all of a sudden he cheats. So what happens in that in-between moment? Like, is there,
So, oh,
like, the, I just feel like there's a missing song in there about the relationship. Like,
I because I we going okay. Let me continue.
but to answer your question, I feel really good. I'm really proud of it.
You should be proud of yourself.
I'm really, really proud of it. And also, I just feel so much lighter. I feel like I've been holding on to this for so long that I'm excited for other people to witness it. I'm actually less interested in hearing if people like it. And I think that's because I have learned to like it so much. I deeply learned to enjoy it. I remember recording Boot Up for the first time, and I fucking hated the song.
Really?
It was never supposed to be on the album. Fucking hated the song. It's one of the only, like, there, the beginning of Boot Up does not have any treatment to the vocals at all. It is completely raw vocals. And I was like, how I sound. I hate how I sound. That was the first time I was in the studio, and I was just like, I don't sound like that. My producer, it's that's exactly what you sound like. So I had to learn to love my voice.
Yeah,
And I
I'm
think
glad you kept going.
found that I deeply love what my voice sounds like on this album. And I don't care if,
Sound fucking amazing. Like, please.
thank you. I mean, people will always tell me, like, oh, you sound too musical theater to make a pop album. You sound too blah blah blah. And I think this album was intended to show those people that not only can I do musical theater, but I can do pop and I can do rock and I can do soul and I can do
You mix
gospel.
it up, baby.
Yeah.
I love artists that does not stick to because I'm African, I'm black, and I'm gay, or you know, I should do R&B, or I should do pop, or I should do dance. Like you really mixed it up. Like there was soul, there was
There's a soul ballad. There is
a
a
soul ballad. There was some like there's a couple moments in a couple songs I caught some chills, like anointing came over me. Like, yeah, you took me on a journey. And you know, I remember when you reached out back in like last year. I can't even remember. That was such a blur in my life, at that point in my life. And I remember you reaching out to me saying, hey, I would like to be on your podcast. I have an album I'm getting ready to release in 2023, and I would love for you to listen to it. And I was like, sure, listen to it. And the album hit me immediately.
Yeah.
And I was holding this in to tell you this on as we're recording. I was in the process of, I was grieving something that I didn't want to end. When I listened to this project, and I remember being, you know, emotional, you know, brought to tears in such a good way, that brought clarity and healing, and that I'm like, okay, it's normal how you feel about ending something that you really didn't want to end. So I thank you for this project, the in between. You know, it's very rare that projects are clear, cohesive, and tell a story. Especially focused on Black queer, you know, individuals. Like I didn't have to listen to a song by a female artist and, you know, oh, this is how I felt about him. It was, you know, it's from a Black, I identify as a LGBT, you know, like it. I
Yeah.
thank you. Thank you
Yeah.
for
Thank you for sharing that,
and
though.
thank you for being so vulnerable and so honest and raw on this album. A couple things I did love about this album is how you didn't, like we talked about, you didn't stick to one genre. and how cohesive the project was and the transitions.
I have a Virgo Mars, baby. When I tell you
Okay,
we
Miss Carter.
listen, no, B was coming out of me. B
Taken
was
from the.
absolutely coming. Okay, I'm just gonna name it right now. The project is heavily influenced by Lemonade.
I can
Heavily
tell.
influenced by Lemonade. And I think one thing I learned so much from listening to Lemonade, even before Renaissance came out, was how well B was able to transition from song to song, even if it's a different genre or a different BPM. Like, the transitions are so important. The listener on the roller coaster. When I was like, baby, that's a second too long. No, that's a millisecond too long. Actually, too short. Like, I was so meticulous about that. We went back and forth for maybe like 3 or 4 hours, just like picking apart the
You're with it for that. Remember when she said, "I'm an artist and I'm sensitive about my shit."
I'm very sensitive about it. And I'm sure Brian was very like, bitch, we have got to move on. Like, it don't matter. But I'm like, no, it
Let's,
does matter.
it does matter. Let's
Zach can get out
be.
of this dreamy boot up in the first song. It drops you straight into the pits of hell with fucking Just for a Moment.
I listened to, because remember when I remember when I messaged, I was like, okay, is there an updated? I was like, is there anything that changed? Because I was, wanted to soak in the album before we had the interview again, because I knew you sent me the link, but I didn't know if it expired or how that went. And you were like, no, nothing, everything should be the same. I was like, okay. I
Okay.
went back and I
Okay.
listened to it and started to take some notes. And then when I came back, then I, it was released today. And I literally, I think I played it like I was in my office and in between meetings, and I listened to it over and over and over again today, especially, taking notes and making sure I wasn't missing any details. So flawless. Flawless. And also, like, the last thing I was going to say is, like, you told a solid story from start to finish.
I'm a playwright. Like,
And that's, and it, it makes sense.
yeah,
Like,
before
I feel like, I think you are giving us the Black queer version of Jasmine Sullivan's
hotels.
Hotels.
I love albums like that that are very narrative.
Concept,
Yeah,
concept. I literally, like, I'm working on, I finished the first draft of my book, and I started my second book, started writing because things have been floating through my head, and I was like, okay, I can't. I'm like, Ryan, that's dumb to start on something. You're starting something new that's not the first one, I ain't even out yet. So I'm like, but okay, this is how my brain works. Let me get this out. When you're thinking of something, let me just write it. And I was writing last night as I was listening to the album, as I was sitting here, I was just typing, and I was just like, I stopped. I was like, this is a really good concept album. And this is something I can see that could be turned into a film, a short film. Who would you have directed?
that who would I have directed? Oh God. Who would I have directed?
Executive producer, who would you want to be attached to? If you got the call, we won't claim that. You get a call tomorrow that says, I listened to the in between. I want to make this into something.
I would call
Bring it
Melina.
to me.
I would call Blitz. I would call Michaela Coel. I know she doesn't direct, but she has such a clear artistic eye that I would love to have her in the room.
Okay.
Who else would I call? Yeah, Melina and Blitz for sure. Yeah, I love the colors that they incorporate and how dreamy both of their visions are. I think that they could really take us on a journey. Honestly, I don't know if you watch For the Boys. Do you watch For the Boys, the web series?
I had the creators on the show.
I would bring in Makai for sure. Oh, and Ellis. Yeah, I would bring in both Makai and Ellis to work.
Oh, they would do you justice. I had both Makai and Ellis on the show probably about, oh my God, it might have been 2 years ago when For the Boys premiered first drop. And
Can I tell you? Can I tell you a secret? Makai probably doesn't know this either. I've known Makai since I was maybe like what 19. I guess that's not that long ago. I'm not that old. So about 8 years now, I've known Makai. So Makai sends me the first draft of the pilot. He's like, Ricky, just send me your thoughts on it. I'm thinking Kai is about to ask me to be in For the Boys. I'm like, oh, I didn't book the part. Like, this is
Yes.
so good. Maybe he was just asking for my thoughts and opinions. He was
Bro.
asking for my thoughts and opinions. But no, I would definitely bring it. I love their artistic voice. I love what they have done for.
Yeah, For the Boys is one of my favorite. Like, I just said to myself, I was like, I'm actually overdue to rewatch it.
Yeah.
We miss it. Makai Ellis, For the Boys, the cast. We love y'all. Ryan Al, I love y'all. I can't wait to have y'all back when the show come back.
I want to come on with you.
That part. I told him, I was like, y'all need a cousin. Does somebody need a cousin? You know,
Let's
I can,
both be on the show.
you know, I can put my little 1-2 acting,
Come on, too. Little cameo.
little cameo, a little something, maybe, you know. But yeah, I would like to talk through this process, your process, excuse me, each song, how it ties together to tell this story of Black queer love, breakups, and the in-between. Catch it. Catch it. I was proud of myself when I wrote
No,
that.
you ate that. Come on.
Okay, so let's start with the opener, the opening song, Boot Up. The organ in the back, right? Okay,
Yeah, it's an organ.
the organ in the background takes me back to church. You know, it takes me back to, I just have, and it's really brief what I have written under, you know, for Boot Up. And it, my main thing was like I could tell like your voice, one thing, and I made a couple notes of that as we get later on in the project, how raw your voice is, how
You can hear
strong, how choir like, you know, like it's powerful, it grabs my attention. And you know, now it's making sense because you said like that you did Boot Up and was like, I didn't like it, but it was so, I think that's what's so magnificent about it is how you just, there was no tweaking, there's no nothing done to it. It's just you.
there's no tuning on it at all.
Yeah, nothing. And I can
There's
tell. And
you
then,
can
so
hear
you're
the
saying that
cracking.
confirms it. So, I'm sorry, say that again.
You hear the cracking in the
Yeah.
there's some notes that I'm completely reaching for that because I wrote it in such a weird part of my vocal range. I think my range was a lot higher when I wrote it in
Yeah.
20 than when I recorded it in 2022. So and we didn't take down the key at all. And
Okay.
I was really adamant about like let's not take down the key. I'm gonna get it. And there were 29 takes of that song.
Really?
When I tell you, no other song in this album, not even Fake Celeb that has the most stacks of any of the songs, not even Fake Celeb has 29 takes. This song has 29 takes of it. And Brian was so upset with me, he sent me home that day. He said,
Yeah.
you are vocally fatigued and you're getting irritable and like you just need to go home.
Wow.
Did I tell you, every single take sound the exact same. So when we were doing vocal comp, I'm like, I think I liked 19 better. He's like, well, 19 sounds just like 10. So like, what's up? But to be honest, I was just afraid. I was afraid of being vulnerable. I was afraid of people actually hearing my voice, because it was just, it's me and an organ, and then we get to the violins later in the song. But like, it was just me. There was nothing to hide.
Yeah, so
I was
you're
scared.
the opener, you're telling it like you're Boot Up, like you're telling us a story, you know, like a beginning of a story of you meeting this guy, or you know, you're in a, already in a relationship with this guy. And it says in a line that like, and the song was beautiful, but the part that to you know that kind of got me was to know what it feels when it feels right, and one day on that day.
Maybe it'll work.
And maybe it'll work, and maybe it won't. I don't know. But tell me, take me through that writing process of like, you know, why was that the opener for this project?
So in 2019, Ed Sheeran and Beyonce had just released Perfect.
Hmm.
And I'm obsessed. Beyond I'm watching the performance. Beyonce's in South Africa. She invites Ed Sheeran on stage. She's in the pink gown. I am obsessed with this song. It's on repeat for days and days and days. And one day I just start like humming this melody. Da, 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 da. and like it just gets stuck in my head, and then I start writing it. And I don't know what it came. I think it was because I, in 2019, I was just graduating college. Like I was single, lonely. All of my friends had left Dallas at that point. I was the only one still there for show. I was just looking for someone to fill a void in me. A lot of the time, I rely on romantic companionship to fill that void. I'm a romantic. I have a Venus in Scorpio. I want to be in love. There's
You see my tweets. I'm a lover boy.
lover to a fault. Like my grandparents were together for majority of their life, 50 years of their life. I want to love like that.
Listen, my grandparents are, you know, they, you know, they are, I still have them with me. God willing, in August, they will be celebrating 67 years of marriage.
Oh,
So
that's beautiful.
I get it.
Beautiful. I want that. We deserve that. We don't have many. I mean, because a lot of that generation has passed away, died from AIDS. Like, we just don't have a lot of long, like 30 plus year relationships. That just is because they're dead. So I think it's important for queer people to see themselves in long relationships if they want monogamy, if they want to settle down. I want that. I want to be in. I want someone I can come home to and lay up with and, you know, just shoot the shit with. I want a partner I can travel the world with.
Part.
Someone I can just be authentically myself with. And I was sad when I wrote this. I'm like, where's my Beyonce and Ed Sheeran are talking about, you know, I didn't found the one. And I'm like, well, when am I gonna find my one? I want my one. I want to feel loved. And I think that that's where that came from. That need for desire.
That was a beautiful opener, and I get it. And then that transition.
Then we get into the transition because then you get into the reality of what. So that's the dream. I'm a dreamy bitch. I'm a delusional bitch. I love to just live in the
Love
clouds.
a little delusion.
Lulu until it's true, true, right? And then it drops the reality of just for a moment. And we, I mean, I'm a product of like Jacked and Grindr and like
I just deleted my apps,
that.
actually.
Me too. Like
I said, I was like, you know what?
yeah, not anymore. We can't. But you know
And
what?
I always end up, I do
Going
this,
back.
come back.
I always come back.
Always. Especially when you feel in a type of way, you know, we gonna be.
No, I just want a little something, something, if only for a moment.
And so, you know, just a moment is a total switch up from the opener boot up.
Yeah,
It's
because it's the
crazy.
reality of who I
It's
am.
reality. It's haunting. It's dark. It gives into temptation.
Yeah.
And this is just me. And correct me if I'm wrong. This is what I'm.
Ain't wrong yet, baby.
This is what I'm taking from, you know, listening. It's, you know, it's haunting. It's dark. It's giving into temptation. And we all have wants and needs. And you know, so. You know, it you go from the dreamer part where boot up came from to the, you know, just for that moment. Like, give me like how's the backstory on that one?
The CDC says you bitches need to stay inside. Don't go fuck anyone. There's a global pandemic happening right now. I live in New York City, and I don't think Jesus could stop the gays from fucking during
Yeah,
the pandemic.
y'all, New York was
We're
we are
outside.
never gonna get out of this lockdown.
We were not locked down. When I tell you we were
Oh,
outside, and I think that I'm stuck in this apartment with these roommates that I hate. I wanted to fuck. What else is there to do? I'm fucking depressed. I want to fuck. Like
right.
I need something. And I think that that's where this song lives. It's like I know I shouldn't do it, and I know that this is not going to be anything more than this hookup. But please take me. Make me feel loved in this moment. I will do anything. And a lot of it, I don't know. You can hear the spiritual influences for it. I wanted it to sound like The Weeknd's The Hills, Meat Slag, Moses Hogan, The Battle of Jericho. Like I wanted those two
It
things to be.
yeah.
You have that the choral elements to it, in the background vocals, and then you have that like haunting 808 that The Weeknd has, the eeriness of the sense in it. Yeah, but I wanted it to feel like the sex I would want to have. I wanted it to be mysterious and passionate and gritty and a little bit dangerous, but not too dangerous. I don't know if that's a kink or not, but like just slightly dangerous,
Okay.
difficult into it.
Well, I'm a Scorpio. We down for anything, baby. So I'm into
I love Scorpios. I'm obsessed. I need it. It filled me up. But yeah, I wanted to feel sexy, but also, I'm a choir kid, so it kind of sounds like a spiritual. Yeah.
Why, listen, those were some of the nastiest, okay?
We are.
Yeah. So then moving on, okay, to the heavy, this is what I put, the heavy rock. This is when the switch up of you not sticking to just one genre. You gave us a taste of everything. And the heavy rock influence song, Have You Lost Your Mind?
Complete accident.
Really? So hold on, I'm gonna let you get into it, right? First of all, the lyrics, okay? I feel like you already know what I'm about to quote. I was just like, if I'd have had your number, I'd have been like,
That's
Roger,
your friend, the one you ain't know.
go
Get
fuck
my
the
address.
friend, the one you didn't know. How you get my address to bring me your coat? How he get my address to bring me your coat? Said y'all in love and getting married. What?
I'm insane. I'm on the phone with my grandma one day, and she talking to me about how my granddad was cheating on her. And Stella's dead, so we can use Stella's name. Stella comes to her house with a bag of my granddad's clothes, talking about, here, take your man back. My grandma said, fuck that man. I don't want him back. Keep him. Have him. Get married. So this is
So
a direct experience for my grandmother, actually.
that is crazy.
That is my grandmother's direct experience with my granddad and Stella. Now, I told you I just wanted a relationship like my grandma and my granddad. There were ups and downs in it.
Aren't there all?
Was
I feel
never
like
perfect. It was never perfect.
my grandma and pap have never, like, I feel like there's a side I don't know. So I'm
Yeah.
like, first of all, they've been together like almost 70 years for real. But 67 years, I'm like, that's crazy. Like, y'all be ready now. They're older. They're 88 and 84 or whatever, 85.
Yeah.
They be at each other's necks. I'm like, at this point,
What y'all trying to
why y'all mad now? Y'all, but
Should have
anyway.
been 20 years ago, 40 years ago.
Okay, so I can only imagine. I don't want to know because it would probably
Yeah.
devastate me if like there was any like anything. To that effect.
Beautiful part about my grandparents' relationship was, and probably the toxic part, which I think I'm trying to dismantle in this album, is that my grandmother was a ride or die bitch. Like, she always stayed. She was a loyal bitch to a fault. Even when he was fucking cheated on her, she had the opportunity to leave him for her little side boo at the time, and she said, "No, I want to stay with my man because he loves me and I love him, and I know it isn't always the most like perfect love that we experience in Boot Up, but it is a love that is fulfilling me in this moment." And I this album is to dismantle that. I think that is a toxic generational pattern
Yeah.
that I am holding on to, because even in this pre you talking about, you were just going through grief of something. I also just went through a very tumultuous relationship. So this album is kind of hitting home right now, but even though it was bad, I stayed. Because I loved him, because it was hard for me to let go. I thought that I could love him harder so that he would love on me just as much. My grandmother did the same thing. My mother did the same thing. The first verse of the song of Have You Lost Your Mind, you got the text when I sent it at 3, a few more minutes and you said you'll leave. These are direct experiences with me and the ex that I just broke up with. Like, where are you? Turned off your location. You said that you would meet me. You're not responding for hours upon hours. And then the relationship before that is the third verse, where like he and I broke up on New Year's of 20. It was New Year's Eve of 2019. So coming into 2020. We break up on the stoop of Brooklyn, stoop of Harlem, in this very grand way. I'm a Leo rising. Everything is a little bit dramatic. He comes back into my house, climbs through my window. I don't know how the fuck he climbs through my window. I'm assuming he goes down the fire escape and comes in. I'm thinking someone is going to rob me. He comes in. I'm like, why the fuck are you in my apartment? I'm going off on him. He grabs me. He grabs me and kisses my cheek. Took off our clothes because we both know tonight is not the night you leave. We have sex in that moment. These are direct experiences of what happened. Like, this is a recounting of the relationships, not only of mine, but my grandmother's and my mother's. And the have you lost your mind at the end is kind of different than the have you lost your mind in the beginning. Because at first I'm like, nigga, have you lost your mind? And then it turns psychological and I'm like, wait, have I lost my mind? Why am I having sex with you right now? Why can't I leave you right now?
You telling three stories in one. That's fucking brilliant in one song.
Yeah. But song is a complete accident. This was supposed, you mentioned Jasmine Sullivan. This was supposed to be a Jasmine Sullivan style ballad. I came into the studio ready to like lay down my heart in a ballad. We get in there. It was just not working. So we said, okay, so what the fuck can we do? I've been listening. Lil Nas X had just dropped Montero. Also, Early Sleep on Montero. I enjoy the project. I
Those are
enjoy
really
the
good.
project. I think it's a really beautiful. What's the name of the song? Someone to Love Me. And it's a very rocky punk rock song. So I said, what if we did that? And then we start going down this rabbit hole. And then we hit up Willow Smith, Transparent Souls. And then we hit up Miley Cyrus, What the Fuck Do I Know? And by the time we got to Miley Cyrus, What the Fuck Do I Know? The band was on their way to the studio, ready to lay down rock. And we laid that out in one session.
Wow. That was
But
a beautiful.
it was supposed to be a ballad,
That's
Jasmine.
crazy. That's a beautiful switch up. I love how you just. So let me listen to me here. And people don't get it. And I had a friend that didn't get it until he listened to it. I was like, I love when artists switch up. You go into a project, they release a song, and you think that's how it's going to sound. There's one album that makes me think, two albums that make me think of that. This isn't the one I'm talking about, but the second one is. Four, back to four. Beyonce released Run the World. We thought, oh, we're getting this high energy.
Because that's where pop was at the time.
EDM, high energy, club. And I was at the one, at the time, I was 21, 22, in my first really, ooh, I'm telling my age. When that album came out. And I remember being like, so okay, Run the World matches the era of right now. So when the album dropped, and
The same what we signed up for B.
I'm like, whoa, sis is bold for releasing a mid-tempo R&B album in the midst of this EDM era. Like, that's crazy,
Can I
right?
be honest with you? Oh wait, what's your thoughts? And then I'll be honest with you.
So the second project that I feel like artists, they don't want to give her credit, but I feel like, listen to, and one of my friends was like, Ryan, you were right. Like, she really switched it up, and it wasn't what we expected. Raven Simone's This Is My Time.
No, I haven't gotten to Raven Simone.
Okay, I get it, but she, back, everybody, celebrates backflip, da 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 da, does his thing. But the album, and I remember listening to interviews because I'm a heavy Raven Simone fan, love her down.
Let me get into it. Hold on, nah.
And listen to Backflip, and then you listen to the album, and you're like, wait, like, she gives us a little bit of pop. She gives us the R&B, the hip hop influence, and then she goes, there's a dance, some dance tracks, and then there's the soft rock, and then there's the doom. She really mashed it up into a pot, and it just really, to me, now listening to it almost 20 years later,
Hits.
it was perfection to me. People didn't get it then, so that's why nobody ever paid her any attention,
The name of it?
Say that again.
What's the name of the
Raven,
album?
This Is My Time.
This is my time. Okay, we'll be listening tonight.
You have to let me know your feedback. I'm
Well,
It's different, you know. But yeah. So I love and respect artists that are expected to do something because, you know, you are black and you have a powerful voice, so you're supposed to sing R&B or soul, and no, you did
Whatever I wanted.
whatever you wanted to. So
My thought, or the thought that I was going to say was, I was very particular about how I wanted this project to be and sound, and even like the rollout of it all. I often compare myself to people. I love Warren's Glitter on Fire, but I would often, like, even in earlier iterations of my album, I would like compare it to Glitter on Fire, because I felt like he did such an amazing job with Glitter on Fire. It's like, I mean, for an independent artist, it was everything for me. It was beautifully done. And I'm like, my work is not sounding like the other queer artists that are coming out right now. It's not sounding like the general sound of American music right now. Even in today's age, right now we are focused on Afrobeats or soca, like focused on dance, we're focused on EDM, house. I don't make that, and I was really worried that people wouldn't listen to the album because I'm going against the grain. That's why it was released on a Tuesday, because I'm like, well, we're not gonna cloud the Friday girlies. We gonna give them their time. I will take my own little carving out on this Tuesday.
Classic Tuesday. You went back to M New Music Tuesday.
Yeah, we're gonna give New Music Tuesdays. Like I was pushing up against the grain the entire time, because I'm an artist, and this is probably gonna bite me in the ass later on. But I'm really not that interested in playing the game. I'm really just uninterested in doing so.
Dude, and that's fine. I feel like you have to, I'm trying to think of the word, you have to create a lane of your own, and you have
I think
to,
that's what I'm doing.
and you're doing that.
I sound, I think it's so authentically me. I don't think anyone else could have created the music that I created.
Not at all. Not at all.
The experiences that I've gone through, the background in choral music and musical theater, I think my love for like Whitney Houston and Prince and like Beyonce and Elton John and Freddie Mercury, like all of that exist in this project. I think that I am a very unique artist who have a very distinctive voice, and I don't sound like everyone else. And I was really worried about that coming as the project released, but I think it's actually my secret weapon now. Like, it is the thing that
Hold you for
actually
that.
art.
No, you're
And
out.
I respect the other girlies that are doing it. I really do. J. Michael, Warren, there's so many, but like those are two that come to mind right now. But I just know that for me, that is just not, it wouldn't work. It
Yeah.
just,
You are you and they are them. Okay. Yeah. I told you we can go off topic a lot, but this is, I love this. So moving on to the next song in this project, on this album. I feel like I'm right here, right? Yeah, we're right. Yeah, I'm right here. I feel like you're And at that point on this project, you're in that stage after the anger passes. After the anger passes, the beautiful ballad. And I feel like everyone goes just through this stage, like after we end a relationship or a situation. Let's talk about that. And also that anointing, the anointing journey you took me on, okay, from 129 to about 230. Like, I was like, Rod, Ricky, what? I don't, I was just listening, like, yeah. Talk to me about I'm right here.
That one's a little tough for me. So this was one song that was recorded in one take.
Okay.
This one and Forgive Me were both done in one take. And my producer was like, oh, you feel comfortable singing this one, don't you? Like, yeah, no, I can sing this one. But I wrote this one. It's one of the newer songs on the album,
Okay.
actually. My ex, who I just broke up with, I wrote it about him. It was a joke. He left my house, or he was about to leave my house. I'm like, no, stay, stay. I really want you to stay tonight. He's like, no, I have work in the morning. I'm like, you have clothes here. Like, just go for my house. He's like, no, I want to go home. He's like, I'm gonna go. And I'm like, well, I'm gonna write a song about you. And he walks out, and lo and behold, I write this song about him and I send it to him. He doesn't even acknowledge it. Like, it was just like a nothing. Like, but I think in this song, I'm like bargaining. It is in the context of this album, it is like exactly what you said. I just found out the nigga was cheating. I have my suspicions. I've confronted, and what do I do now? I love you so badly, and I also just can't break free. In the context of like real life and when I was writing it, it was genuinely like, I really would like my man to. I didn't feel desired in the relationship. I didn't feel like he loved me enough in the relationship. And going back to like, I often like pour into guys so much, hoping that they would love me, hoping that they were reciprocate to that to me.
Story of
He
my life.
thought he was unwilling to reciprocate that to me, even in the simple ask of stay with me tonight. I need you here with me. And I know you have to go, but like I can't. And I think that's where a lot of this stems from, like just begging and begging and begging, bargaining for this relationship, and I ultimately losing. I think once you get to the voice memo at the end, you're just like, why am I doing this? Do I hold on to this relationship? I can't keep holding on to this relationship because you actually made it very clear that you were unwilling to
Would you
bargain that.
play? Yeah.
Yeah, reciprocate that to me.
Yeah. Wow.
This one hits home a lot because
Yeah, I think that when I first listened to the album, and I think this is where between this and Forgive Me, was where I was like, okay, let me pull it together.
yeah,
It touched me. It
it's
did.
really it's a I often think the words are actually pretty dumb. They're very Dr. Seuss. They're very like whimsical and like they're just like elementary.
Oh, yeah, no.
But the feelings are just so
Yeah.
raw and real. Like, what better way to say I need you than to say I need you?
Oh.
Yeah.
And let's keep that. So moving right on next to Forgive Me.
Another remedial song. There's
Okay.
about three words in the entire song.
Literally. So this is another stage I feel like we're all familiar with, a sense of regret or what did I do or what could I have done differently? It's, again, these are my takes, okay, after listening. First of all, like this song was absolutely beautiful. This is where the song that moved me to tears. I'm looking as I'm reading my notes, and your voice was so powerful. I felt every emotion that you were feeling. And there's a part of the song I had chills for about 5 seconds, and it's from 211 to, well, more than 5 seconds, from 211 to 220 and of the song. And I vision this song being performed live with candles and just
Me
you and
too.
the piano.
Me too.
And like, just give me your thought. Like, it gives very much like I want to
Excuse me,
see.
my director. Please, because me too. Similar thoughts.
I can shoot a vision. I don't know how to. Sometimes I lack in execution unless I have a really solid team behind me, which recently I've been having a really solid team behind me. So a lot of my things have been getting executed. So
Maybe.
listen,
Oh, you're good.
I that was the song. Like, actually, I'm looking at my notes. Like, that's the chunk,
Yeah.
like the biggest like chunk of notes that I took underneath, you know. But yeah, it gives tiny desk, it gives intimate, it gives,
Yeah.
up front, just you and a mic. Okay,
Yeah.
mic is on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So tell me, is and like I said, these are my thoughts on this project, and you haven't corrected me and said, hey, okay, Ryan, that's not what I was going
So
for.
this is the one. This is actually a misconception of the song.
Really?
First person to say it's like this one is like this one is no longer in the relationship. This one is about me. I'm apologizing to myself. for allowing myself to
That makes sense.
go through that. But my best friend today, I said, "You bitches are much smarter than I was because I didn't even think about that at all." She was like, "It's such a beautiful," my best friend was like, "It's such a beautiful analysis of the act, like the reality of relationships. Like, even after you go through
Wow.
start, like, what did I do wrong? Please forgive me. Even though you treated me bad, I'm still asking for your forgiveness." I was like, "I think that's a beautiful analysis, but that's not what I was at all." It was like,
Really?
this song is about I fucked up to myself. I allowed myself to be mistreated. I allowed myself to be robbed of the things that I want and needed in this world to feel secure in a relationship. And I will never do that again. So sorry to myself. And I hope
That
that
makes sense.
the younger version of myself that was going through this can finally forgive me so that I can heal myself.
I'm going to listen to that with totally different ears as soon as we end this.
Yeah, it's a misconception.
Wow, I
You're
had it
not the
right.
only person that thought that though. I'm
Okay.
like, you bitches are much smarter and more like detailed than I am because I did not think about that at all. But I think that's beautiful and I love how that connects because no, that's not where I was
I
thinking.
mean, like, let's be honest, like, those situations, when something ha ends and you're like, I mean, I had that moment where I was like, what did I do? Is there something I said? Is there something I could have, and it's not
Yeah.
like, I feel like some people look at it, there was the video, the meme is like, stand up, there's a sense of weakness and it's okay to be weak,
Yeah.
but don't give in to the weakness, but it's okay to be weak.
Yeah.
That's kind of like what I, like where I was at with
Definitely
that.
understand that.
But
This is the acceptance part of the album. This is when I accept the reality of the relationship, and I'm closing the
you
door.
just, I don't know if you can tell, you blew my mind.
Yeah, I'm closing the door on the relationship, and I'm choosing me.
As we should. And that's what I'm like, why didn't I think of that? That is so powerful, taking your power back.
Yeah, this song is taking the power back.
Taking your power back. Like, you were like, I will never allow myself to be that vulnerable. I mean, it's
And I'm
okay.
hurt. I'm so hurt by it, and it's a hard decision to do, which is why I'm like belting through this song. It's so painful to
I'm
do.
gonna probably cry all over again, listen to it now.
But it is a necessity. I cannot move forward if I do not heal this wound.
Oh my God. Roger, you are
This
brilliant.
was the first song that I ever wrote. Like,
Really?
when I tell you, like, first song I ever wrote in my entire life, that's why it's only three words in it. Also, this song has such an interesting story. So my friend back
No.
in 2018, maybe it was 2018. Yeah, it was like December of 2018. We're in London. Lauren goes, "I had a dream about you. You're singing this song," and the melody goes like, she sings the melody of "Forgive Me." And I'm like, "Bitch, what do you want me to do with that?" Again, I'm a playwright. So months later, I'm in acting school and we are doing our finals. What is your solo performance piece? So I do this solo performance piece called A Boy's Room, which kind of like inspired this entire album, actually. I was supposed to never move to New York, but move to the UK, take a play to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. Forgive Me was the final number of this play. And it's all about reclaiming your power. Lauren, so going back, sorry, mind is scatterbrained. So Lauren's has the dream. I write the song months after she tell me that because I need to create this fucking play and I need a song to go in the play. And I'm like, I don't know what to do. So I write this literally in like one night. That's why it's like three words and all of the it's just repetition over and over. But the song has stayed with me since 2000, early 2019. And it's gone through many different iterations. This iteration is not how it sounds in the beginning, but pretty similar. In this current iteration, it's really Frank Ocean, Kim Burrell's Godspeed.
Okay.
Like, yeah, like a direct carbon copy of Godspeed, if you want. But yeah, it started off as a dream my friend had. She was like, I dreamed that you're singing the song in this blue pool of light. And I'm like, bitch, you're crazy. And then lo and behold, I have a video of me singing in a pool of blue light, singing Forgive Me. Yeah.
That is, you're brilliant for this song.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank
That
you.
is like, Now looking at it from both, like how what I thought, right? And you telling me what it is, and like of you claiming your back. Like I said, I'm probably gonna cry all over again when I listen to it. Because I remember I got to the point where I did take my power back and I was like, I'm not, yeah. Wow.
The album is about you. The album is not about the men that I was fucking. It's not about them. It's about you.
Yeah.
About you reclaiming
Your power,
to
yeah.
fix Celeb. But yes, it is fix Celeb. It's the North.
So we're coming. Oh, because I have my thoughts about fake slut. Okay. All right. See if I'm wrong again. Look, I was going strong. What I was right about the first, what? One, two, three. I was going on a streak there.
Well, first four, you had it.
Yeah. So now we're coming to the almost, coming winding down to the end of this journey. And American Dream is the song. And I feel like it's, there's a moment in that healing process or that hurt, that breakup or, taking your power back, like you said. And now actually this makes sense as I'm saying it, where there's a bounce back. And you literally say that in the song. A bounce back in the song gives a little like, okay, I'm gonna get dressed, go the fuck out, and live a little.
Why not? Why not?
Yeah.
What else am I gonna do?
It's like that moment, like I think of those movies where like you go through the heartbreak and the devastation, and you have this like, and you're like, you
Your
put on
girls are like, bitch, what are you doing? We're
where
going out.
like usually they cut their hair, or they get a whole new look, and it's like new bitch, who this?
Well, I say that in the song, like, rooftop, chilling on my rooftop, searching for the new bop, music out the jukebox, jogging shorts and tube socks, retrofitted go watch, barber clothes, self chop, looking like I self chopped.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No, it is. It's like I, at any cost, I am going to get dressed and get out of this funk. The beginning of the song starts off like waking up feeling kind of crazy. I'm still like love hungover from this
Yeah.
relationship.
Yeah.
I'm still groggy. I'm like, don't fuck with me. I'm tired. I'm fatigued. I need a moment. But am I gonna stay in this forever? Am I gonna stay in this forever? Oh, I can't. I can't. I can't. Oh, now I'm checking his Twitter. Now he's living his life. He's living his life. Bitch, I'm living mine. We're
That
out. We're outside. We're having fun. We're shaking ass. Like, I imagine Solange's binge. You know when she performed on SNL and she's just that the twerker that was sitting that was on the platform.
Yes.
That's what I imagine just in this song, just twerking up and down, just bouncing. Because it is like, I can't sit in this anymore. Like, I'm sad as fuck. Like, the lyrics are there. There's a dichotomy there or juxtaposition there where the lyrics are really dark, but the music is kind of like upbeat and happy. And you're kind of feeling a little jolted there by the lyrics and the music, but it, I don't know. I think that's the reality of like coming out of a re relationship and trying to be and having some fun because,
Yeah.
yeah, you're sad and you still want to be a person.
I remember the first time, like when I got my heart broken, and I had longer hair at the time. And I remember, shedding that chapter with those people, with that person. And I remember, like, cause they used to do my hair. He used to get it like twisted, and he used to twist my hair. I remember I was like, I'm cutting my hair off. Like, I'm like,
Yeah.
yeah. So we all go through them. Wow.
Also,
Wow. Okay.
that's only in the context of this album. When I wrote the song was not act. I mean, it kind of was. It was a duality. The song was about all of you bitches out there, and I'm talking about all of you bitches who were traveling during the pandemic, knowing damn well you were not supposed to be traveling. Like y'all were outside when we were supposed to be inside. So
That's funny.
the duality of like.
Mary.
Talking about the relationship, but I'm also just talking about like life is moving on for everybody else, and I'm still physically stuck in my bedroom.
Yeah.
And I want to be outside. I want that. I miss life.
Yeah. Wow. Of course, for 4 years, and look at it now with this. Wow.
Pandemic really influenced the album.
Yeah, I can now as you're telling me, and I'm listening, because I've listened to it so much in the last like couple days, but over time, like it makes sense. So we can talk all night, but I'm gonna speed it up a little bit because we're at the end. The last song you ended with fake celebs, and this is what I took from it. But now I feel like I know there's a different
take on it. And you know, because it makes me think, because I'm so in tune and in touch with independent artists, you know, that I you know, sometimes I feel like we see, or as an influencer, whatever you want to call it, I don't know, a creative, we see those that might be a little bit advanced, like for just doing something very simple. And this is just my take, and I know it's a different take on, you know, on what you have on Fake Celebs, so it has nothing to do with how the album, you know, but like everyone gets so caught up in that influencer glamour life, and I feel like sometimes it's, I feel like, and when I was listening to it, I was like, is this song exposing those who fake it for the views? So correct me, because I know I'm wrong.
No, you're not wrong. It's
Okay.
not. But again, like I just said with Quarantine Bob, this song is about those people who took their pandemic money and were buying like Margiela and the Telfar bags. And I mean, I also bought my Telfar bag. You know, I did
You
support
should.
my own businesses. But like these are the girls that are just flaunting it, knowing damn well we're all pulling pieces.
Yeah.
We're pulling pieces.
That part.
We are all like buying and returning. Like, I'm using my stimulus check to fund this album. I'm using my stimulus money, or not stimulus money at this point, but the unemployment to take cheap ass flights places. Like, I'm not interested in faking it.
Yeah.
My artistry, as I've told you during this part, I'm not interested in playing the game. I'm not interested in being anything other than who I am. I'm not interested in being in relationships that do not serve me. I'm not interested in putting up with anything that takes away from the authenticity that I possess. This song is about living true to who you are. And if you are that rich girl that like
Good
just
for
said,
you.
good for you, live in that truth. My truth is not that. And my truth, I'm not going to try to be that because
That
that would
part.
look right on me. It would just never look right on me. This one, though, it's kind of a separation from the rest of the album. It's a little bit less about the relationship because, again, we have already closed the chapter on the
Close that
relationship.
chapter. Yeah.
Now it's like I'm healing from the relationship, but also just finding my inner bad bitch. Like I found myself, and now I need to find out what it means to stand proudly in who I am. And you know, the Chelsea boot, I think, is such a motif in queer, black, queer men. Like, baby,
Yes.
step out. I'm going to put on my
Love a good
boot.
Chelsea boot on Sunday at brunch.
Hello. Like, we need it. And I think that something about that click clack, that it gives power to us.
Yeah.
Nothing is powerful than a gay and some fucking sunglasses and a Chelsea boot. Baby, you think you are Tyra Banks, Naomi
Okay, skinny
Campbell.
jeans and a leopard, and they got a cheetah print
Oh,
button down.
nah, you can't tell me I don't look good. You can't tell me. So this is that song. It's like, okay, I've healed from this relationship, but now I've got to find my inner Naomi Campbell. I've
Yeah.
got to find my inner bad bitch. Because now that I'm in this world alone, I need to make sure that no one tries me. I need to make sure that people understand who I am at face value. They're not assuming anything about me, that I'm presenting myself in a way that I value, that I want someone to see me. Yeah, people kept talking like, oh, you need to do this in your rollout. You need to do this in your rollout. That's not who I am.
You're doing everything perfect.
Promise that's just not, I'm not going to do it because that's not who I am.
Yeah. Okay. All
But
right.
yeah, no, it was calling out those people. It
Period.
was
I was
finding
right.
out.
I was right.
Yeah. A
Okay.
very nice, nasty diss track.
Nice, nasty discharge. We love a nice, nasty.
Yeah.
Okay. So, 7 songs, 23 minutes. Roderick, what would you love? What do you want people to take away after listening to this, your debut album?
If you take away nothing from this album, the mantra at the end of Fake Celeb, it is something that I always return to. Remind yourself that you're the bitch. Strut through the world, talk your shit. The original quote was, remind yourself that you're that bitch, strut through the world and talk your shit. Fuck these niggas, they don't pay your bills. You fuck these niggas, let them pay your bills. That part, it was a little too explicit for the album, so we did cut it. But remind yourself that you're that bitch,
Okay.
simply.
I
Yeah.
love it.
Love on you.
Love on you. Love on yourself. Yeah. So I have 2 more questions. And this one is like, so just bottling all of that into a bottle of, everything. What is life teaching you right now? In this moment, your album is out. You have released these
I
two.
hate Beyoncé's Four era, and I hate that we've talked about it so much
I gotta listen to it now.
because I think that's where I'm at in my life. I've spent so much of my life, at least in my adulthood, from like the time I was 18 until now, I've been in creation mode, writing plays, performing, auditioning. It's always been go, 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 that I haven't had a chance to stop and sit in things, stop and revel in what I have done. When a boy's mirror A Boy's Room premiered off Broadway in 2021, I was still focused on this album. I didn't get a chance to like even stop and revel in that. So I think I'm learning right now that I need to slow down and just like be a person and experience life a little bit and like, I don't know, travel. I'm moving to London in January or in June for a job.
Wow.
Yeah, maybe
Congratulations.
my computer's dying. Give me a second. I'm moving to London for 3 months, and that is going to allow me to just like be a person and just like, I don't know, not focus on creating. I just want to live a little.
Wow.
I want to sit and rest and not have anything to worry about, not have to worry about when this album is coming out or if this person is meeting this deadline or I need to book this show. I just want to go and have fun because I haven't lived enough. And I'm in my late 20s now, 27. I just turned 27. And I'm like, I spent so much of my life in those relationships, and I haven't done much for me to do things for me on my time. And
On your
who knows?
terms.
Maybe when I'm in London, the next album will be written. But if not, that's okay. I'm
Take
just
time. You gotta
like,
exist. I feel
I
like
want
everybody
to
deserves those
be.
reset.
I want to reset. I'm tired. I'm really tired. This album, it's true. I hate when bitches are like, this is a labor of love and it took them 2 weeks. I mean, no, that's still a labor of love. I'm not discounting that. That's still a labor of love. But this is like, there was just so many roadblocks in my way that it just felt so hard to do a lot of the times. I'm ready for life to be easy. I'm ready for life to just be simple and easy
Yeah,
again. Yeah.
you deserve that.
Yeah.
So my last question is, what advice would you give to your younger self?
Patience. It's gonna happen. Don't try to. You know what? I fucking hate when people are like, don't try to force anything.
Force it.
Force it because knock down those fucking doors. Take those opportunities by the fucking balls. It's yours. No
Yeah.
one, what's meant for you will always be for you. Stay resilient. Stay resilient. And don't let these bitches tell you otherwise.
That
You've
part.
always been talented. You've always been so talented. Don't let these bitches tell you otherwise. Oh, I wish I could go back and do it all over again.
Sometimes I have those same That's how I started Ryan Out Loud. My first season is very trial and error. I didn't know the direction I wanted to take it into. I knew I was a fresh 30-year-old when it started, because it started in 2020. And I was just like, oh my God, my life is over. I'm 30, the world is shut down. I feel like I didn't even live my best life because I didn't get a chance to, like, it's just a lot of things. And sometimes I wish, like, as things started to unfold in my 30s, a lot of things make sense to me now that didn't in my 20s. And now I know why. Patience.
Patience.
Patience is always the key, and continue the things that you did led you to where you are for a reason.
I believe that. I really do believe that. I'm not the greatest Christian. I don't even know if I'd probably identify as Christian, but I'm deeply spiritual. Believe there's a higher being. I believe that my steps have been ordained and I'm walking through purpose. I'm here. I believe all of that. Like the things that are meant for us will always be for us.
Always be, always.
Nobody can.
We don't understand it because we're human and we feel and we, go through these emotions, but
I truly believe
it's gonna
that.
be okay. It's gonna be all right. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
So thank you, Roger, for this episode, this special episode. It's a long one, and I'm not editing anything. I want people to really listen to this episode, but really they need to listen to the album first. Listen to the album, soak in it. I feel like every Black queer man, Black gay man needs this album.
Yeah.
You told a story. You know, they always say albums that are for us, and this album is for us.
I believe so. And I was very intentional about that.
I am saying this, and I've been holding this in since I listened to it last year. And I said, this is going to be one of the best projects, albums of independent albums of 2023.
Yeah.
Where are we at? 2024, excuse me. And I'm standing firm in that. Like this album.
I do. Yeah.
Congratulations. It's beautiful. I can't wait to see what's next. Tell the listeners where they can find you, what you have coming up.
Yeah. So I am performing, if you are in New York City or even in the tri-state area, I'm performing at New Blue NYC this upcoming Tuesday, February 6th. At 7 p.m., there's an open bar, if that excites you. It is going to be partnered with Honeysuckle Magazine. I have photographers from BFA that are going to be there. We're opening up. Ja X, who's a New York-based rapper, is opening up for me. Croconile will also be DJing the night, so that's really cool. Outside of that, you can find the album on all streaming platforms. The In-Between, Roderick Woodruff. Follow me on Instagram at It's Ricky Nasty. It's Ricky with a Y. At It's Ricky Nasty on all social media platforms. TikTok, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all of that jazz. So I'm very happy to be here. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
Of course, of course. Y'all know what it is. Black Lives Matter, Black Queer Lives Matter, Black Trans Lives Matter. Thank you, Roger. Thank you for coming onto this show and talking about this project. This is a very special episode.
That was so good.
So y'all make sure you support him, support this album, listen to it, give me some feedback, all of that above. Everything that he said, it will be posted in the description. So again, I'm your host, Ryan Lewis, and this has been another episode, The In-Between with Roderick Woodruff. Thank y'all.